It's been said the Bible is God's love letter to man. Pastor Ray Bentley comments on the scriptures.
Love for God's word is a mark of those who are truly saved. If you have been saved, if the Holy Spirit is inside of you, the Holy Spirit will draw you to the Word of God. You will have this insatiable appetite to let His living Word become now a living Word in us and through us.
Spreading the news of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. A number of years ago, someone paid $748,000 for a letter from Abraham Lincoln. It was rare and valuable. But you and I, we have a letter from God Himself, and sometimes we don't even pay attention. Today, Pastor Ray helps us have a fresh appreciation for God's Word.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God, and precious." All right, desiring the word. Did you know that love for God's word is a mark of those who are truly saved? If you have been saved, if you've been born again, if the Holy Spirit is inside of you, the Holy Spirit will draw you to the Word of God. You will be in love. You will have this insatiable appetite for the word. A love and delight in God's word. Now, I've got several scriptures, and some of them I want you to read with me. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. These are Jesus' own words. Let's read this scripture out loud together. "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There it is. If you abide in my word, then you're my disciples. And if you abide in my word, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In the Psalms, it declares that God has exalted his word above his name. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word of God lived. The Father was saying, this is who I want you to be as my children, as my creation, in my own image and after my own likeness, like my Son, Jesus, the living Word. So you will love the Lord, and you will be drawn to the Word as you are filled with His Spirit. Psalm 1, with all the beautiful psalms that are in the Bible, there's Psalm 1, and Psalm 1 is kind of the cornerstone, the foundation of all the rest of the 150 psalms that there are, and it's describing who is the blessed man or the blessed woman. Blessed means, oh, how happy. Now, the world is craving happiness. The word blessed means happy. Oh, how blessed, oh, how happy is the one that delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates, how often? Day and night. Does it say meditates, 10 minutes a day on these things? No, but day and night. And the word law there, the broader meaning of it is the whole counsel of God, the whole word of God. You meditate in it. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And Jeremiah had to tell Israel the word of the Lord for their generation. And there were some bad things coming down the pike. We haven't been following the Lord. We've been worshiping money. We have been bowing down to the golden calf. We have been following idols. And there are some things that are going to catch up to us. But if we repent and return to the Lord, he loves us. Well, they didn't receive his message. And Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And he had a very tender heart. But this is what he said: your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Even with whatever the future may hold, Lord, if it's your future, it is the joy and the delight of my life. You know, the believer's delight in the Word of God is the main theme of the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119. I'm going to just read a few verses, starting with verse 97, but this was written by David, and he uses words like laws and precepts and commandments, but what he's talking about is the whole counsel of God, the Word of God. Here's what he said about his love for the Word. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because you have taught me. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, and therefore I hate every false way. Being in love with the Word of God. Well, you know, the Apostle Peter experienced that very same thing. He says in verse 1, therefore, he's going to talk about, you know, desiring that pure milk of the Word. But he says, first of all, lay aside all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. The Greek language, the word that is used is the idea when you have soiled your garments. They have become filthy and so stained and so full of stench and foul odor that you are driven to take them off. And you can't put them on anymore. They're unusable. That's the analogy he's using for these things. Before you drink the pure milk of the Word, there's some old clothing and garments that we need to take off before we put on the white robes of righteousness and the character of Christ. And so the idea here is that as we do take in and desire the pure milk of the Word, the effect of the Word upon our lives is that it would affect our speech. So that now, if God's Word became the living Word, and Jesus is the living Word, and His living Word now begins to abide in us as we meditate in Him, then the fruit of being in the Word for a believer is that out of your mouth now comes the Word of the Lord. What comes out of your mouth is goodness. What comes out of your mouth is honesty, truth, kindness, grace, mercy, forgiveness, love, healing. The word of the Lord that comes out. You're a blessing to be around, your very speech. Now, this putting off and then putting on is not done. We can't do it in our own strength. It's not a work of man. The Bible, and when we talk about the word of God, we're not talking about morality. If there's one of the things I could go outside of the church, let's say, and into the general community of a major misnomer and misinterpretation. They look at Christianity as, you know, kind of a good thing for a little bit of morality, especially for children, and, you know, give you some foundations. No. It's so much more than that, and it's so much deeper than that. It's about a living relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's an intimacy, and it's a knowledge, and it's a relationship with Him. And so, we're to be yielded to the Holy Spirit, surrendered to Him, to let His living Word become now a living Word in us and through us. So, having said, putting all those things aside, then he says, now here's what you should do. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word. I mean, basically, when a newborn comes, it's all about milk. It desires milk. It craves milk. If the baby is not sleeping, all they think about is milk and resting to get ready for more milk. And it's a newborn. Now, to drink the milk of the Word is to taste again and again what Jesus is like. It's in hearing the word of the Lord that believers experience Jesus and the joy of fellowship with him. I mean, you're drinking in the living Jesus when you drink the pure milk of God's word. This word for desire is used 7 times in the New Testament, and every time that it is used, it's an intense, recurring, insatiable desire or passion. Do you have that for the Bible? Do you have that for the Word of God? So that you may grow thereby. This is how we grow spiritually. We don't want to remain babies. We want to grow up and be mature, healthy adults to the full measure of the stature of Christ.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. It's a blessing to hear when Pastor Ray's daily studies in the Word of God make a positive change in someone's life. That's our goal with each one of these broadcasts. Here's an example of that kind of change. Take a listen.
Hi, Pastor Ray. Last year was the hardest year of my life. I suffered deep wounds from things that were said to me and things said about me to others, and betrayal to top it off. As a Christian, I found myself saying and thinking things I'd never, ever imagined. Anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, and anxiety were killing me, literally. You have been going through the Lord's Prayer in Matthew with an emphasis on forgiveness. At the end of the message, you asked for those holding on to bitterness to stand up, to confess, and forgive. Then you said, "You need to forgive." It was said with such a bold, direct tone that I began to weep because I knew it was a direct word from God. God knew it was what I needed to hear. At that moment, I let it all go and forgave those who betrayed me and treated me so harshly. My joy returned that night. Thank you, Pastor Ray, for your faithfulness.
How have Pastor Ray's studies touched your life? Would you let him know? Send an email today to ray@raybentley.com. Again, that's ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Well, look with me in verse 3. It says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. That really means since indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Well, he says, since indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And verse 4, and we'll close with this. Coming to him as to a living stone. Rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Peter is talking about the one that he was with for 3 years. He's talking about the one that he didn't fully grasp or realize or understand who he was until the death and the burial and then the resurrection. Peter is called the apostle to the Jews. And he went out and he laid down his life. The historical records say that Peter was, in the end of his life, crucified, saying, Jesus is Lord. And for that, he was crucified, just like his Lord was. And again, history tells us, early church history tells us that when they crucified him, he said, I am not worthy to be crucified as my Lord was. Please turn my cross upside down. He died just like Jesus, laying down his life upside down, saying, I'm telling you, I was just a foolish fisherman, but I heard and I saw and I tasted of the living, resurrected Messiah. Jesus is Lord. Now, the idea that the Lord is a rock is described in many places. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, he says, for I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfection, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Now, so the Lord is likened unto a rock. In the New Testament, Paul tells us that rock was Christ. Jesus was that rock. You remember when Moses was leading the children of Israel and they'd had this miraculous deliverance, Passover, and now they were released from hundreds of years of slavery, And this nation of people now leaves Egypt where they have lived for centuries. And they go out, old men and women and little babies and all in between. Then they say maybe several million of them out into the wilderness, following the pillar of fire and the cloud by day. And they reach a point, they're in the desert, they're in the wilderness, and they're dying of thirst, and they cried out because they were perishing, and they said, give us water. And so Moses went to the Lord, and the Lord said, see that rock? I want you to walk up to that rock and smite the rock. And as you smite the rock, the water will come out. And so Moses did. He went over and he smote the rock. And when he smote the rock with his rod, then the rock opened up and water came gushing forth, enough to quench the thirst of several million people. Paul says that rock was Christ. The rock meaning the cornerstone that is like a rock cornerstone for a building that is going to be with so much weight. And with so many people, all of humanity, the weight of all of humanity would be able to rest upon this one cornerstone. It had to be perfect. It had to be strong. Jesus is that rock. But the rock was smitten, and that is speaking of the crucifixion. When the rock was smitten with the lashes upon his back and the crown of thorns and with the nails and spikes through his hands and feet, then the living water came forth. The blood and water was symbolic of his death, washes and cleanses us from sin, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord will then be saved. So they were dying and perishing in the wilderness until the water flowed out of the rock. So like us in this generation. The world of humanity is dying in the wilderness, perishing, unless water flows out of the rock. Now I want to just say this. Do you realize that right here, right now, in this place, is the rock? Jesus is right here, right now. He promised, whenever two or three gather in my name, I will be there in the midst of you. He knows everyone who came this morning. He sees you. He loves you. There is nothing he wouldn't do for you, and he showed it when he died upon the cross. And now we come to honor him, to remember him, to worship him. He's alive. He is risen. He is healed. But 2,000 years ago, he said, I want you to always remember how much I love you. And the one place I want you to go, as often as you will remember me, I want you to go to Calvary. I want you to go to the cross. I want you to remember the height and the depth and the width and my breadth of the love that I have for you. There's nothing that I would not do. My arms are stretched wide. I want you to begin meditating upon Jesus. I want you to begin thinking about him. Whatever you need, you can talk to him, and he hears. He hears your thoughts. He hears the cry of your heart, and he wants you to share it with him. And he wants you to know that he loves you. He wants you to remember the crucifixion. And he wants you to worship him and respond to his amazing, incredible love toward you. If you are not yet a believer in Jesus Christ, maybe you're here and you would say, okay, I believe, but I don't know where to start. How do I get saved? And what must I do? And how do you begin? Here it is. Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and will open the door, I will come in and we will sup together. And Jesus, who has been with you from the moment you were conceived, he knew you even before you were in your mother's womb, who has been with you and followed you and loved you and pursued you and knocks like a gentleman at the door, but he will not come in unless you ask. So what we're going to do is pray. I'm going to say a prayer. If you'll pray this prayer with me right now, we're going to ask forgiveness for our sins and ask Jesus to come in and heal us and forgive us and fill us with his Spirit. Then if you'll pray this with me, salvation can be right here, right now. It's that simple. There's no other gyrations. There's no other, you know, seminars you've got to take. There's no money you've got to pay. It's a gift. You can never earn it. And you can never pay for it, believe me. It's the gift of God's amazing grace. So if that's the desire of your heart, just pray with me, just in your own mind and in your own heart, after this manner. Dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner, and I am so sorry for everything that I have done wrong. I am so sorry for all my sins. Please forgive me. Thank you for dying on the cross in my place. Thank you for paying for my sins. I open the door of my heart, and I ask you to come into my life, to be my personal Savior and Lord. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, we thank you for even one who has prayed this prayer. We rejoice, I know all the angels in heaven rejoice, over one who through repentance has been filled with the life of Jesus. And now, Lord, may we be filled with your Spirit as we remember Calvary and the love of God and worship the Lamb. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley, closing with an important word of prayer. And if you have just made a decision for the Lord today, contact us so we can send you some free materials to help you begin your new life as a believer. We'll have the address in just a moment. Now, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's study, get in touch and ask for Desire God's Word. We'll be glad to send the CD your way for a gift of any amount. Just mention the title, Desire God's Word. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 1 Peter on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available a booklet to listeners that really could be life-changing, although people might not realize how at first. It's called Fast 40, Calling for God's Heavenly Fire. Explain what this will do.
Dave, several years ago, the Lord started speaking to me, as we follow Jesus and we want to grow in our relationship with Him. And the Lord challenged me to a fast, a 40-day fast. And then He said, but it's not just for you. I want you to invite the body, the church, the believers. And of course, Jesus is our example. Before He began His ministry of challenging the world and bringing the kingdom, not only in word, but in demonstration and power, He went into the wilderness, was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to fast and pray for 40 days. What I challenge through this booklet is that if people will take, I'm not asking that everybody give up food completely, but if they would pray and seek the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit, if there is something that they can sacrifice, that they can give up for 40 days, because it's not about eating and not eating, it's about the time spent investing in prayer and seeking the Lord. Whatever sacrifice that God may bring into their lives, and that they will maintain that for a 40-day period, it could be various kinds of food. You know, Daniel did a fast from the king's meat, for instance. It could be a technology. I'm not going to use, this device or that device under these circumstances or whatever. There could be a lot of different ways people can apply this, but I believe it's a spiritual breakthrough. It makes the veil between the natural and the supernatural so thin that God brings His presence, His power, His glory, and His fire to those who seek Him through prayer and fasting.
Well, we could all use this kind of breakthrough, and we hope you'll take advantage of this help. Contact us for your own copy of Fast 40, Calling for God's Heavenly Fire. We'll send you this inspiring prayer journal to say thank you for your gift of any amount. It's your support that allows us to bring you Pastor Ray's studies each day, so we hope you'll help make them possible with your donation today. And be sure to ask for the booklet Fast 40, Calling for God's Heavenly Fire. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online by going to raybentley.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 1 Peter. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.